wonderful and very eccentric priest, I like to think of it. Father Coy serves up at St. Jude's in Burke Burnett. He also serves the parishes in Iowa Park and in Electra. So he is a very busy man. He has a lot of the prison ministry as well, and he writes and he does spiritual direction, and he likes to really just reach out serving the poor and mission work and supporting the youth in the church as well. And tonight he's going to talk to us about the Lord's love for your marriage expressed in the true, which is coming up next week, guys. We have Holy Week next week, and he'll tell us all about it. So I want us to welcome Father Coy Tran.
So I thought I turned on my tablet and used my technology. How about we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this opportunity together, especially as we begin the Passion Time, as we begin with Palm Sunday and throughout the Holy Week. Help us to look on you, and by following your example of love, to love our spouse, our family, and one another as you have loved us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so let me ask you some questions. What are some of the things that your spouse do that make you mad? Counseling period now. Come on. Oh, y'all are lying. Yes, your wife only told you. Snore. Okay. Well, what else? Huh?
Splash the toothpaste
all over the windows. He should know better, right? What else?
Procrastinating.
Okay, good. Okay, whenever a couple come to me and start to say, Father, I wish my husband, my wife, would know what I'm thinking, that we wouldn't have this problem, Father. Have you ever imagined that? Have you ever heard that? If they would know what I'm thinking, then we wouldn't have this problem, this situation. So I usually give them the example of, have you ever drive on the highway and a jerk cut you? Oh, I had several people cut me this last few weeks, and I said, you better be thankful that I'm a priest. But that's kind of like in your own marriage. When you do not give signals or proper communication, and expect the other person to know what you're trying to say, you get frustrated, the other person gets frustrated, and then both of you get angry, and you come to me, and I said, I'm glad I'm not married. So giving proper signal and communication is important, isn't it? If you do not give proper signal and communication, don't expect the other person to be like a worm living inside your brain and read everything that you have. So proper communication is important, because proper communication expresses who you are in both your words, in your action, in your body, and in your soul. You communicate much more than just your words. You communicate also with your body language. If you do not know how to communicate with your body language, what happened? Honey, we need to talk. All right. Father Coy said that we need to talk. Oh, okay. What did your body language just say? I'm not interested. And if the other people, the other side, see that you're not interested, are they going to be able to open their heart out and share what is going on? So intimacy begins with your ability to communicate and communicate well.
And I know this is corny, but intimacy means into me, you see. So intimacy begins with you and I opening our hearts up to God. So this leads us toward this wonderful example of God's love for us through the Judaism. Probably many of you see this art, this topic, and you said, oh, too much theology. I'd rather stay home and watch something else. Or why am I listening to an Asian priest that looked like Kim Jong-un, you know? But oh well, you're here. If you're not here, I would want you. But you're here, so thank you. So, the Last Supper. On the Last Supper is the beginning of the Triduum. And this is when the Lord Jesus say, and we hear this every single Mass, this is my body, this is my blood, given up for you. Not for y'all. You. It's a very personal pronoun. This is my body. This is my blood given up for you. Isn't that the most romantic things that you ever heard? Yet, every time we go to Mass, by the Eucharistic prayer, we start to count the tiles and the angels on the top of the, and then we start zoning out, go like, oh, this is Father's car and my car. Right? We zone out. But yet, at the Eucharistic prayer, we hear the most beautiful words and expression of love for us. This is my body. This is my blood given up for you. So that every time we hear that, beginning with the Last Supper, we also say, my God, as I have received your body, your blood, help me to also give my body, my blood to my wife, to my husband, to my children. Do you know why marriages fail? Because when people stop giving their everything to their spouse, it's like two people living in the same house, but have not made a home together. Those of you who know Spanish know that the word to be married in Spanish is a casar. It's basically to say to create a home. Because a casa is a home. So a casar, to get married, is to create a home. So in your own marriage, are you creating a home? Or are you coming back to a house? Are you creating a home with each other? Or are you coming back to a house? One of the songs that I like to listen is by Michael Bublé, Home. Maybe you can YouTube that tonight. But coming back home is where we want to be. This is where our heart calls. This is what we yearn for. And how do we make this into a home? By saying, my love, I'm giving you my body, my blood, my body, my soul, my spirit, my everything. I'm giving everything for you. When was the last time you say that to your spouse? This is my body. This is my blood given up for you. Yet the Lord Jesus said that to each and every one of us at each Mass we go to. This is my body. This is my blood given up for you. Not only in your spousal relationship, but also within your family, in the relationships that you have in your life, in the friendship that you have, and also beginning with yourself. So this giving of body and blood begin as we look at how much God loves us. And this love then do not just stay with words. It had to be fortified and actualized and concretized with actions. And this is what we see. This is what we see at Good Friday. Every time we look at the cross, we see the Lord Jesus opening both of his arms between heaven and earth, dying for us. When was the last time you and I chose to die for one another? And Kitty, when she gave the Lenten parish mission for us at My Three Parish, she said, the first action or sign that we do when we love someone is to do what? To hug them, right? I'm copying you, Kitty. So when we open our arms to hug someone, to embrace someone, isn't that the same sign that the Lord Jesus had done on the cross? So this is my body. This is my blood, not just in words, but also in action. The Lord Jesus gave himself to us at the Last Supper and realized that on the cross for us. So each and every time we too do not like our spouse, we said, Lord Jesus, help me to die to myself so that I can embrace the one in front of me, just that you and praise me. Help me, Lord Jesus. And of course, on Good Friday, us as Catholics have the seven last words. And I'm not going to give you the seven last words, because this would take a long time. And I've got to go to sleep before 9, okay? I'm an old man. So I'm going to give you two words. The first one is, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So in your own marriage, you and I, you, in my own marriage with God and the church, I also have to tell to my people, to the Lord Jesus, Lord, you give me this thick-necked people that always complain and bitter and bitter, you know? But forgive them, Lord, for they do not know what they're doing. So you also, in your own marriage, in your own relationship, have to say, Lord, please forgive my wife, my husband, for they do not know what they do. Why? Because we're stupid. That's our humanity. That's how I summarize the fall. Okay, I can go into theology and tell you the effects of the fall, which is the darkening of the intellect, and also the darkening of our will and concupiscence, but that's too long, aka we're stupid. Even in our own best intention, we tend to hurt one another, don't we? Even with our own best intention, we hurt each other. So forgiveness is important, because weakness is a part of our humanity. As much as you and I love, we have to learn to forgive. Forgiveness doesn't mean that everything is going to be all right. Forgiveness is simply saying, I love you just as God loved me. And I choose to forgive you because God has forgiven me. So forgiveness is not only when we say the Our Father, forgiveness in every time that we are called to live our Father. The Lord's Prayer begins with your marriage, begins with your children, begins with your family, begins with the people that you don't like, and begins with ourselves too. And the second words that I would like to give to you now is I thirst. One of, like Kitty have said, I love missionary work, and I go down to Guatemala in May to help the Carmelite sisters down there, and I also like to work with Mother Teresa's sisters in Vietnam. And I love Mother Teresa's sisters, because every time I go to their convent, the two words that they have right next to the crucifix, the two words, I thirst. John 19:28. And this I thirst is one of the last words that the Lord Jesus said on the cross. This I thirst is the expression of his thirst for you, for me. He thirsts for our love. So when we know how much he thirsts for our love, how much he hungered and thirsted and yearned for our love, we have to also thirst for his love. I want to give you my everything, O Lord, and I'm also thirsting for your love in my neighbors. So Mother Teresa said her mission is to satiate Jesus' thirst on the cross by serving the poorest of the poor. By serving the poorest of the poor, she satisfied Jesus' thirst on the cross for all humanity. And that thirst is also the mission for you and I as we live out our love for one another, beginning with your marriage. Are you thirsting for God's love in your marriage? Are you thirsting for one another love? And are you thirsting for something higher than physical intimacy or just the shallowness of immediate gratification? Are you thirsting for true intimacy that comes from the heart? Are you thirsting for the Lord Jesus Christ and His presence in your love yet or not? Are you thirsting for one another yet or not? That thirst expresses our deepest thirst for the divine, the deepest thirst for true love, the deepest thirst that nothing in this world is satisfied except when we learn to love each other in God and through God. So this leads us toward Easter. So Easter reminds us of the Lord Jesus' own faithfulness to his promise that he had won over death. And Easter is also a sign of our own transformation. I need to change myself each and every day so that I love my wife, I love my husband, I cherish this spousal love, not as it was before, but also today. St. Augustine wrote in his confession, he said, "Late have I loved you, love ever ancient, ever new." God's love is ever ancient and ever new. Think about that. His love for you, he's never changing, he's everlasting, but he's always new. So your love for each other too is one and the same. The day that you say, "I do, I pick you as my husband, my wife, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, now and for the rest of my life." That ancient, that's the foundation of who you are. That is the foundation of your love. But at also the same time, there are different stages of love that you need to learn to adapt to and learn how to love your husband and your wife in a new way. Just as God is ever ancient, ever new, you also need to love your spouse with that same love that you began with, but also meet them where they are now. Don't be like a dinosaur, right? Don't expect your spouse to be like what you want them to be. Love them for who they are now, and with them and with God's grace, help each other to grow where God wants you to be. Ever ancient, ever new. And just today, I was listening to Kayla, and Chris Tomlin just had a new song, "Resurrection," came out. And in their interview with him, like behind the music, behind the song, he said the meaning of his new song, "Resurrection." And he said this: "This resurrection power has the power to help you to overcome your addiction. Have the power to shed light into your depression, and have the power to heal and transform your broken marriages. The resurrection power has the power to change your marriage. Jesus had won over death, and his death and his resurrection have given us life. And if we truly believe in him, he can change your marriage, as well as he can change my vocation to the priesthood, so that I can love him each and every day, so that you love your spouse each and every day." So, toward this Easter love, I would like to give two examples. One is from John chapter 21. Of course, we know this story where the Lord Jesus appeared to St. Peter and asked him, "Do you love me?" Not one time, not two times, not three times. "Do you love me?" And St. Peter, after hearing it three times, he said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And perhaps the same way you need to say to your spouse, you know I love you. I'm not the perfect husband. I'm not a perfect wife. But you know that I love you. I said that to the Lord Jesus all the time. "You know how screw up I am, Lord. But you know I love you." Huh? And so you and I need to say it in our everyday life and everyday resurrection, everyday Easter. And this leads us toward my second verse for Easter, which is from Acts chapter 3, verse 6, where St. Peter saw a crippled man, and this crippled man said, "I want to be healed." And St. Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise." And that crippled man rose. So you should also be in your own marriage, "My love, I have neither silver or gold, but what I have, I give to you. I give you Jesus. I give you my all. I give you my everything." When was the last time you tell your spouse, "Oh, this is not what I'm getting you at Target. Or this is not what I'm getting you at the mall. None of that is important. I don't want to give you silver or gold, what we can buy with money. I want to give you Jesus. I want to give you my everything." Every time a couple come to me for marriage pastoral counseling, and they always come and said, "You know, every time I do pastoral counseling for marriage, I said, I'm so glad I'm not married. I can't think of this." But they always come in and expect, like, I am the triangle, and said, "Father, can you tell my husband he needs to do this and that? Oh, can you tell my wife what she hasn't been doing?" I said, "Why can't you tell them yourself? I'm not a stupid Karen. Pass on the message, you know? Why can you communicate? Why can you open up and learn to listen and to talk from the heart?" That is what's important. When a couple come to me and have marriage problems, I always ask them this one question, and I'm asking you now. When was the last time you prayed for your spouse and prayed for yourself? When was the last time you prayed for your marriage? My spiritual director once told me, the day that you stop worrying about losing your vocation is the day that you will lose it. Think about that. When was the last time you prayed for your spouse, for yourself, for your marriage? If you care enough for them, don't give them anything else. Give them Jesus Christ. Give them yourself. "This is my body. This is my blood given up for you. I want to die for you. And I want to love you everlasting but never new. I want to give you my everything. Last of all, I challenge you, when you try to talk to each other, don't simply talk about what you have to do, but learn to talk to each other from your heart and listen from your heart. Don't listen in order to respond. Don't listen in order to get back. Don't listen in order to solve a problem. Listen because you care for that person. Mother Teresa, they said, why is she so wonderful in that? They said that every person that she met, whoever is standing in front of her, she made them feel like they are the only person that exists in the world. She gave them her full attention, her full love. Are you willing to do that for your spouse? Are you willing to do that for your family? Are you willing to do that for God? So this is my body, this is my blood, this is my everything given up for you on the cross, and with the resurrection power, we can get over this. And my challenge for you, who in here is married between 5 to 15 years? Raise your hands up. Okay, you're in trouble. Why? Because according to facts, marriages begin to become rocky and many divorces begin to happen between the 7 to 15 years. Why do you think that happened? Children, yeah. Those stupid kids. No, don't say that to them, okay? I know you want to think it in your head, but don't tell your children that they're stupid, okay? They're precious, okay? But when you begin to have children, you begin to live other roles. As a parent, then you become so busy, especially when they get in middle school, that you spend more time with everything else except time of your marriage. And that's why marriage fails. So I'm inviting you, begin with your marriage. How are you and I going to change the whole world? I can tell you, coming from a communist country, politics ain't going to do it. Because politicians speak the game, but at the end of the day, they do nothing. They speak about, okay, I will be careful. They speak about free public education and everything, and yet they send their children to top schools. I don't believe in politics because I grew up in what's supposed to be called socialist utopia. But yet, in socialism, only the social elites get the top crust. All of us just get nothing. So I don't believe in politics that will change everything, but I believe in humanity. You. If you begin to live what you're called to be, you're going to set the world on fire. Saint Francis de Sales said, be who you are. And be that well, and you will set the world on fire. Be who you are, and be that well. Do you believe that? Who you are right now? God has given you a very specific vocation, as husband, as wife. Be who you are in that vocation. Be that well. Begin small. Begin with your family. Begin to build up humanity. Begin to build up with love, and you will set the world on fire. What will change our world? What will change our society, if not politics? G.K. Chesterton once said, what makes a society great? If that great men are willing to come together to make it great. So how are we going to change our nation? How are we going to change our world? By being great people to one another. Beginning small with your family. Beginning with loving one another just as God loved you. So I'll keep it simple and straight, almost 40 minutes. I'll shut my mouth and you can ask me questions, okay? So is that fair? Okay. Question? Comments? Anger? Resentment? Hatred? Free counseling session? Anything?